following is a teaching message from Shore Community Church. For more information on Shore or our teaching resources, visit www.shore.org.nz.
Famously depicted in a lot of artwork, and you may have seen this, Christmas cards, artwork and so on. I'll show you just one. I think we've got one on screen, Dale. This is by Leonardo da Vinci, one of the most famous artworks on the Annunciation. So angel on the left, Mary on the right. And just have a look at how Mary's depicted. I don't know how well you can see that. Mary, I would say, looks like she's in maybe in her 20s there, maybe 30s. She's got this crazy halo, like a lightning halo behind her head. So does the angel. She's in a lovely flowing robe. And she just looks so calm, doesn't she? She's still got her finger in the book that she's reading, which is quite impressive given that she's just seeing this winged creature, but she hasn't even lost her place in the book that she's picked up. It's kind of typical, I think, of how Mary tends to be seen, like how Mary is portrayed. She's always just so calm. She's always so serene, just sort of presiding over the whole thing, even though she's just given birth to a baby. She's like this super saintly kind of figure. If you see artworks of Mary, artworks of Mary, by the way, are called Madonnas, not that Madonna. Images, statues, icons of Mary, Madonnas, and typically Mary is portrayed as a very, like, super saintly type person. Very spiritual, very lofty, kind of almost like transcendent, doesn't look almost human, more divine than human in some ways. And it kind of reflects the place Mary has, particularly in Roman Catholic theology, where she is really above the rest of us. She's not quite God, but she's certainly the top of all the list of the saints. And so she has this very highly venerated position within Catholic theology. And she is this super spiritual person. She has names like the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of the Church, and all these very lofty-sounding names. That's kind of the Roman Catholic view of Mary. That's what tends to come through in a lot of the artwork that you see. And I think what happens then is, like, that's the kind of Catholic view of Mary. And so all of us Protestants, we kind of go the other extreme, and we react away from that because we don't really like all of the Madonnas and all of the religious tradition and baggage that goes along with Mary, and we can't quite connect to that. So I think Protestants sometimes end up downplaying Mary, and we feel like, well, the Catholics have got Mary, we'll just stick with Jesus. That's kind of how we divvy up the Christmas story, I think. It's like the Catholics, let's leave Mary with the Catholics, and we'll just take Jesus. We just need Jesus. And so we don't kind of think much about Mary, and because Mary, for us, maybe, is loaded with a lot of baggage, tradition, history, religiosity, we maybe don't connect as much with her. I want to suggest that there is a middle road here. We're a Protestant church, but I think we need to reclaim the importance of Mary. I think we need to rediscover something of who Mary is. I think maybe we've neglected her for too long. And we need to rediscover the real Mary, not the Mary of tradition, not the Mary of all the artwork, not the Mary that the church has kind of made her into over 2,000 years, but the real Mary. Like, she's a real person, was a real person, yeah? Real historical person, Mary of Nazareth. And so this is what I want to try and do. Just within this one passage, look through and get a bit of a sense of who was this young woman? Who was she really? And by getting to know Mary a little bit more, we get to know Jesus a little bit more. That's the point. Not just so we understand Mary, but so we let Mary point us to God. We let Mary show us a little bit more of who Jesus really is and why he's come. So let's just walk through the story a bit. You see in verse 26 that we meet this angel, Gabriel, the great messenger angel. He's already appeared to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, in chapter 1. Very important angel. In chapter 1, we see Gabriel doing the kind of thing you'd expect an angel to do. He's appearing in Jerusalem. He's appearing to a priest. He's appearing in the temple. This is all very Jewish. But then you get to this scene, and it's the opposite. He's appearing now in Nazareth, this really out-of-the-way town. Nazareth, it's just an obscure kind of place. There's nothing significant, nothing interesting about Nazareth, right? It's just like Hamilton. It just is.
So that's like, just think of Mary growing up in Hamilton, right? That's pretty much, it will get you there. You'll get you close anyway. So Gabriel goes to Hamilton, goes to Nazareth, and he appears to this young woman, Mary. Mary, by this stage, is probably between 12 and 14 years old. And again, like you think about the artwork, how old does she usually look? 20s, maybe, 30s, maybe, 40s, maybe. We think of Mary as a middle-aged woman. In reality, women in this age, including Jewish young women, got married between 12 and 14, usually. It was typical. I know we find this a horrible thought today. It's an awful thought. But this was just the way it was. Girls got married off really young. And if Mary was betrothed, she's engaged at this point, so not even quite married yet, we could be generous and say maybe she's 13, maybe she's 14. Round about that. So you're picturing a teenage girl. And what an overwhelming experience it would have been. So here's Mary. And she's a very ordinary teenage girl. She doesn't have any particular pedigree, no particular social status. It's interesting that she's mentioned beside Joseph, and he's named as a descendant of David. So it's almost this comparison of, like, at least Joseph's got some status. At least Joseph can trace his lineage back to David, which is quite significant. Mary couldn't. Didn't have any great family tree. Didn't have anyone really important within her ancestry. She's just the most ordinary kind of person you can imagine. That's kind of the point of the whole story. She's just a very, very ordinary person. And then she has this visitation. And the angel Gabriel appears to her one day and says in verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It's a great greeting. It's worth unpacking just a little bit and pausing here. In some ways, that greeting it's the same kind of greeting that you could greet anyone with, but these words have real significance. That word greetings, it is based on the word for grace. The word that's used in the rest of the New Testament for grace, the word charis, God's favor, God's kindness. And then when Gabriel says, "You are highly favored," that word is also based on the word for grace. Same word that is at the root of both of those words. And I think this is a beautiful message. The angel is communicating. First thing that he says to Mary is a word of grace. Isn't that great? It's like he's saying, grace to you, the one who is full of grace. Or grace upon grace, Mary. Grace to you, the one who has been graced by God. It's like the message Mary needs to hear is a message of grace. And I think that's worth reflecting on. Because we have this really exalted perspective of who Mary was. And the more that we try and elevate Mary, I think the more we come off track. Because the point of the story is not to elevate Mary. The point of the story is not that Mary is this amazing person. The point of the story is that Mary is a really ordinary person who points to the amazing grace of God. That's what we're supposed to get from the story. The way Luke is telling this is Mary is just this really ordinary average teenager, but this grace of God that is resting on her, that is what is amazing. I mean, Mary was a sinner like us. She was a teenage girl. Of course she was a sinner. You know, like, she would have made some bad decisions. She didn't listen to her parents sometimes. She got into trouble sometimes, stayed out too late, whatever. She was just a person, an ordinary person. She was a sinful person. There is this doctrine that has grown up within Roman Catholicism that Mary never sinned, all of that kind of stuff. It's nonsense. That's not the scriptures. Mary was just utterly ordinary, and she would have had all the same problems as any ordinary human being. The point is that ordinary old Mary points us towards an extraordinary God and God's amazing grace. When you have this word, charis, that sits underneath the greeting that Mary is given, that same word crops up over in Ephesians 1, same word, where Paul says this, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Isn't that great? The same grace that was upon Mary's life is upon your life if you belong to Jesus. If you don't feel like you can relate to Mary, just start there. The same grace of God that touched her life has touched your life if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, the same grace that touched Mary's life can touch your life today. It's exactly the same grace, favor, love, compassion, mercy of God that he is ready to pour out upon you. What that means is that the words that the angel spoke to Mary, you can hear those words spoken over your life. "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Can you hear that? Like, some of you need to hear that this Christmas. Like, that greeting You are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Just put yourself in Mary's position and just imagine the angel speaking those words to you, because you're not far off. It's the Lord Jesus Christ now who turns to you and says, you are highly favored. Just as Mary was, you are now highly favored. We need to hear those words because we get so down on ourselves sometimes and we feel so hopeless about ourselves and about our situations and we feel so unworthy and we feel like I'm not good enough and I'm not smart enough and I'm not spiritual enough and I've messed up too much and God's not really going to want to take me back. And we can just get so down on ourselves, down on life, down on other people. Those are the moments, my friends, where you've got to come back to these words and hear God say to you again, you are highly favored. The favor of the Lord Jesus Christ rests upon your life. You are favored by God. Isn't that awesome? God's face is towards you today, not away from you. His gaze is upon you. His smile is upon you. His face is set towards you. His eyes are locked on you. And he is saying to you, you are highly favored. Let the words spoken to Mary resound in your soul, because that's what God is speaking to you today. So the same grace that sits upon Mary's life sits upon our life. And then Gabriel explains the whole plan of how Mary is going to give birth to the Messiah and how this is going to happen. And you jump over to verse 34. Mary's got a very practical question on her mind. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And then the angel says, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. It's a beautiful bit of biblical imagery going on here. That word overshadow, where the angel says that the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you. It's the same word, equivalent word, used back in the Old Testament for the cloud that covered the tabernacle. Same word. So in the book of Exodus, you have this tabernacle, which is basically a tent where the presence of God resided. And Israel carried this tent through the wilderness, the desert, wherever they went. And when they'd set up camp, they put the tent of the tabernacle there. And this would be the place where Moses went in and met with God face to face. And when Moses went into the tabernacle, this cloud would come down and it would overshadow the tabernacle. And that means it would encompass the tabernacle. This cloud would surround the whole tabernacle. It would envelop the tabernacle. Couldn't even see the tent anymore because this thick cloud representing the presence of God would descend over the tabernacle. And the glory of God would fill the tabernacle. And Moses would speak to God in that tent face to face. And so you pull that thread through. And can you see the beautiful picture that we're being given of Mary? It's like the angel is saying, Mary, you are now a tabernacle. You are going to be a tabernacle like the tabernacle in the wilderness. And the power of God is going to surround you, Mary, like that cloud surrounded the tent in the Old Testament. You are going to be enveloped. You are going to be surrounded. You are going to be encompassed with the power of God. And just as the presence of God filled that tent in the Old Testament, the presence of God will fill your own body, Mary. You know, it's like as a Jewish girl, she would have known the story. I think that's why Gabriel gives her the image to say, think about it this way, Mary. You are going to be a tabernacle for the presence of God in a far more significant way than in the Old Testament, because you will have the fullness of the presence of God, the Messiah, living within your body. Now, if you keep connecting the dots, some of you are already doing this in your mind, you keep going through the New Testament story, you get to 1 Corinthians 6, and Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple or a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? So draw the thread right through now. The cloud that surrounded the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the cloud or the Spirit that surrounds the body of Mary, this is the same presence of God that now fills you if you're a Christian. I mean, it's an amazing promise of God that we are now overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah, that's great. I was starting to wonder about some of you, but I think we are overshadowed by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, enveloped. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Not just to have this kind of transactional relationship with God, but to be filled, empowered, nourished, enabled by the Spirit. The same Spirit who overshadowed the tabernacle is the same Spirit who overshadowed Mary, is the same Spirit who overshadows and fills your life today if you're a follower of Jesus. I think sometimes we downplay the role of the Spirit in our lives. I know I do. We can be really focused on Jesus, and we should be. We can be really focused on God the Father. I think this is true of the Nativity story too. Focus on the Father sending the Son. Yeah, great. We focus on the role of the Son, of course, because Jesus was born. Sometimes what we don't focus on is the Son sending the Spirit. That's just as important. That's the gift of God to us and to our lives, is the Spirit of God. And that's an amazing promise to keep with us. So you think about the story of Jesus' birth. It's surrounded and filled with the activity of the Holy Spirit all the way through. The conception, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And our lives are filled with the Spirit today. We need to hear, I think, that promise, especially in times we feel discouraged, in times maybe that we feel powerless, situations that we come up against, maybe you're in one now where you feel like you're just bumping up against your own limitations, and you feel like, I'm just at the end of myself with this situation. This just feels hopeless. I just can't make any progress. I can't get anywhere. I feel stuck. I feel like I'm going around in a circle. That's a good moment to step back and go, I'm overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit of God that overshadowed Mary overshadows me. I have the same power of God living in me as the Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation. The same Spirit living in me that raised Jesus from the dead. Got the same Spirit living in me that fell on the disciples at Pentecost. Got the same Spirit living in me that gave voice to the prophets in the Old Testament. Elijah called down fire upon the altar. That's the Spirit of God living within you. Never minimize the power of the Spirit. Just become more aware that you have the Spirit surrounding you and filling you. I find even just being aware of that reality just changes something in my head, changes something in my heart. When I feel defeated, when I feel hopeless, when I feel like I can't move forward, when I feel like the evil one's getting the upper hand in my life, just to be aware, the one who is in me is greater than the one who's in the world. Yeah. The power of God in me is infinitely greater than whatever is coming against me, frustrating me, annoying me, or opposing me. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Let's be attentive to the way the Spirit is working and moving and empowering us in our lives and in our church community, because we possess the Spirit together. Not just our individual possession, we together are filled with the Spirit. So this is an important part of the Nativity story, to tune into the work of the Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit. Don't leave here this morning without a fresh touch of the Spirit in your life. Seek Him, seek His power, seek His refreshing and His anointing in your life. So the same grace that was upon Mary is upon us. The same Spirit that was upon Mary is upon us. And one more continuity between Mary's story and our story. Look at the way Mary responds to all this. In verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Just such a humble response. I am the Lord's servant. The word servant is just the slave girl, the slave boy. The KJV, the King James, translates it handmaid. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Mary's just taking this really humble position. I mean, she can't have understood much of what was going on here. She only saw and understood a fraction of what was going to unfold here. But she has the humility of heart to say, God, whatever this is, whatever this means, however the story is going to play out, I'm your servant. God, come and do what you want in my life. I'm yours. Martin Luther translates this as, I am the Lord's workshop. It's pretty good, eh? I'm the Lord's workshop. And I wonder if, in some ways, there's a word of encouragement for us to cultivate the same faith that Mary had. Again, not a perfect faith. Don't think of Mary super spiritual, always got everything right. It's a very real faith. I think Mary's was a very messy faith. It was a very earthy, gritty kind of faith. But it was a faith that could just say, God, however you want to use me, I'm here. I'm yours. I'm your servant. And maybe that's a prayer for you. As you look towards the year ahead, maybe that's a prayer for you. What's coming down the track for you in 2025? Whatever, some of it you know, some of it you've got no idea. But are you willing to take those words upon your lips and say, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever it is, God, lift me up, bring me down, fill me, empty me, whatever you want to do. I'm your servant, God. I'm your handmaid. I'm your workshop. I'm yours. For some of you, it might be something that God's maybe nudging you to step into. Maybe a new opportunity and God's saying there's something here for you. I want you to step into this and you're nervous about it and you're not sure. Maybe this is your prayer. I'm the Lord's servant. God, if this is what you want me to do, maybe for some of you it's something to step away from. There's something God's calling you to give up, maybe. Maybe it's some area of sin. Maybe it's just something he is calling you to leave behind. Can you pray that prayer? Say, well, God, I'm your servant. I really don't want to give this up. This is hard. I'm attached. It's difficult. It hurts. But at the end of the day, Lord, give me the faith of Mary. Give me the faith to say, at the end of the day, Lord, I'm your servant. Maybe there's just something next year that God's going to call you to endure, and it won't be easy, and you just have to sit in it, and there's no way around it, and it's a situation you've just got to accept. And in that kind of space where you can't make things better and you can't make things move faster, maybe that's a space to pray the prayer of Mary and say, God, I'm your servant. As long as you want to leave me in this, as long as this is going, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to try and fight against it, God. I'm not going to try and push against this. I'm your servant, and I trust that you're with me in the midst of what I'm going through. Are you willing to take those words upon your lips and just in a humble, honest, genuine way, allow yourself to have the faith of Mary and say, God, I'm your servant for whatever the next year brings? Mary's story from this point has all kinds of twists and turns to it. As you look through the life of Jesus and you look at where Mary shows up, it's really interesting. She does not have this faith that her son is the Messiah from day one and follow him wholeheartedly. There's one point where Mary comes with some of Jesus' siblings and tries to take him away because they think he's gone out of his mind. They think he's insane. Like, she shows up with his brothers and she's like, Jesus, I think you've just gone too far. She's trying to be protective of her child, but clearly she at that point is not fully believing that he's the Messiah. She thinks he's basically lost his marbles. And so Mary's journey is really up and down. She's wrestling. She's grappling with who her son really is and what all these promises mean. But you know what? You get to the end of Jesus' life. You get to the cross. And you know where Mary is? She's right there at the cross. Almost everyone else is gone by that stage. Some of Jesus' closest friends, closest disciples have abandoned him. But Mary is there. She's there with the apostle John. She's right there. She's right there with her boy at the cross. And then after Jesus ascends back to heaven, she's there. She's with the disciples, Acts chapter 1. She's there waiting. She's waiting for what's promised. She's waiting for what's next. And then think about this. On the day of Pentecost, Mary was there. So on that day where the disciples waited and then they received the Spirit of God, Mary was with them. Mary was in that group. So that's the second time that Mary's filled with the Spirit. She's filled with the Spirit when Jesus is conceived. She's filled with the Spirit again. She would have been with the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and now she receives the Spirit of God in this permanent, abiding way. Mary's story is not meant to give us a picture of some super spiritual saint that we can never relate to and never attain to. Mary's story is meant to show us what real faith looks like in the messiness of everyday life, a faith that's real, so that we might be pointed to a God who is amazing and will do extraordinary things by his grace in our lives. And my prayer is that the story of this young woman, Mary, might magnify the grace of God in your life. That we might let Mary point us toward a God who says to you this morning, you are highly favored. My grace is upon you. For some of you, that's the word this morning. That's the word of encouragement to simply hear, you are highly favored. I pray that Mary's story reminds us that the same Spirit of God that rested upon this teenage girl rests upon us, fills us, overshadows us. Let's be aware of the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit, particularly over these next few days. And may Mary's story stir in you a fresh faith as we respond to this God, so that we can say with Mary, I am the Lord's servant. God, have your will. May your word be fulfilled in my life. Whatever you want to do, I'm available. Let's allow Mary to point us toward God, his Savior in this world, and the Spirit of God that fills us and our church community every day. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this young woman who you chose for no other reason, Lord, than your good pleasure. We thank you for the story of Mary and the way in which you looked down and you chose her because of your goodness. Not because of anything in her, but because of your kindness, your grace, your favor, And we thank you for the way that you used her in all of her ordinariness, all of her brokenness, all of just the normality of her life. And Father, we thank you. You are the same God who works in our life, just as you worked in the life of Mary. Lord God, give us a bigger picture of your grace, we pray. We thank you for your favor. For those who need to hear that deeply within their hearts this morning, God, would you press upon their hearts your favor, your grace. Lord, for those who need to know this morning that the same Spirit of God, your Spirit, Holy Spirit, is with us, filling us. For those who feel empty this morning, those who feel powerless, those who feel disconnected from you, God, would you remind them that they are overshadowed by your Holy Spirit, enveloped by your presence. And God, for whatever sits out there ahead of us, and whatever we're going through now, would you give us Mary's faith? Lord, would it not just be words, but God, help us to respond to you with that same simple faith that she had. God, we don't need to understand everything about your will. Mary didn't. We don't need to know everything that's ahead of us. Mary didn't. We don't need to have all the answers, have everything figured out. Mary didn't. But God, we just turn to you, and with these humble, open, vulnerable hearts, we just say, Lord, I'm your servant. Do your will, have your way, lead me where you want me to go. And God, give me courage, give me obedience, give me your grace, give me your Spirit's power to step forward into what you are calling me to do. God, we thank you for your gift that you have given us through Mary. And we pray that you would continue, God, to lead us, encourage us, and challenge us by your word and your grace and your Spirit as we journey through these next few days toward Christmas Day as we celebrate your arrival into the world. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
This has been a teaching message from Shore Community Church. For more of our teaching resources, or to donate to our teaching resource ministry, or for more information on Shore Community Church, visit www.shore.org.nz. Alternatively, you can email office@shore.org.nz or phone 09 415 0455. Thank you for listening.